Okay. So title of my talk is Measuring Use of Health Services Among Working Age Adults with Disabilities with the ACS-6. This is a project that I did together with my colleagues at NIH, including Elizabeth Rash, Leighton Chan, and then, speaking of dissertations, one of my dissertation advisors, Barbara Altman. We have no financial relationships, although we're very pleased to be back open for business again. That's a good thing. Okay. Some background and just sort of the purpose of the study. So the six-question disability measure that was developed for use in the American Community Survey, it's currently being adopted kind of as a new standard for disability measurement. The ACS-6, as it's kind of colloquially called, it's going to appear even more widely, I want to say, in future federal surveys of health because of mandates that are in the ACA and because of the Office of Minority Health at Health and Human Services, which has said that this will be the new sort of common denominator across surveys. Now, it's potentially good news in the sense that we will begin to have a greater ability to measure disability in a, you know, kind of consistent way from one survey to the next. But it's also a very brief measure, and as such, we can't really realistically expect that it's going to capture every nuance or aspect of the disablement process. So these six questions, I think it's important to note that they were composed, with the purpose of identifying people that have serious limitations that would be at elevated risk for participation restrictions in our society. They were not composed with an explicit focus on healthcare needs or on health service use, though I do think that they're going to be an increasingly important part of how the health services research community is going to measure and ultimately define disability for many years to come. This study is part of an ongoing expert measurement panel project that's being conducted at NIH at the Clinical Center to develop measures and methods of screening adults with chronic healthcare needs. Our acronym is ACHCN. In national health surveys. Our goal with the present analyses, the ones that I'll show you today, were really kind of exploratory. We wanted to quantify how the ACS-6 measures, both individually and in concert, are related to healthcare need and use. Using the recent test of the ACS-6 disability measure in the 2011 National Health Interview Survey, we analyzed its performance in relation to health, mental health, chronic conditions, and for today's presentation, particularly service utilization. So, to do the project, let's do some methods kind of stuff. We merged the adult sample, the person level, and the disability test questions files from the 2011 NHIS. That gave us about 13,000 cases. When you weight those, you get to about 192 million community-dwelling adults aged 18 to 64. The interest in our project is on working-age folks. Among our measures, we used both the six individual items of the ACS-6, and I'll review those for you in a moment so that we're all on the same page, as well as two summary measures. One is just a dichotomy. It's any versus no difficulties. The other summary that we created uses the two items that pertain to ADLs and IADLs, in other words, bathing, dressing, and doing errands alone. Take those, stick them together, and use them as a trump. That is, people were divided into three groups for this summary measure. No ACS-6 difficulty, an ACS-6 difficulty without ADL or IADL involvement, and then this final group that told us that they did have ADL or IADL difficulties. Several of our analyses look at health and mental health today. We examined overall health, fair or poor, as well as people who said their overall health is worse now than it was a year ago. Let's see, next, the NHES includes the K6, which is a brief screener for serious mental illness. For nationally representative data, a cutoff of 13 or greater on that scale is said to be correlated with serious mental illness, so we went with that. And then last, we created a count and summary of 10 possible chronic conditions in a manner similar to how others have analyzed the NHIS chronic condition variables. So, and they include the things that you think would be on the list: diabetes, hypertension, cancer of any variety, or most varieties, arthritis, et cetera. So for controls, we have the usual suspects: age, gender, race, ethnicity, low income, which is less than 200% of the federal poverty level, education, which is less than a high school diploma or GED, and we have health insurance status, which is private only, any public or uninsured at the time of the survey. Strong focus in this presentation on health service use. So we are looking at any primary care medical doctor visit, any specialty MD visit, any hospitalization, any therapy use, and that by that I mean PT or OT rehab kinds of therapies, and any mental health visit during the past 12 months. Now each of those, and this is one of the limitations of the NHIS, each of those are dichotomous variables. Did you have any or none over the past year? But we also looked at two visit counts over the course of the year, and that was for emergency department visits, so we can do a mean on that. And we can also do a mean on ambulatory healthcare visits to any type of provider other than ED over the past 12 months. So a quick overview of our stat methods. We conducted customary univariate, bivariate analyses of each of the major blocks of the variables. The multivariate analyses that I'll present take the form of a service utilization measure on the left-hand side with the ACS-6 measures, the individual measures, and sociodemographic controls on the right-hand side, just generally. For some of the models, though, we included all six of the individual ACS-6 items as dummies together in the model, but then in additional models, we would go back and test our ACS-6 summary measure, that one I was talking about before, that has that ADL or IADL trump, a three-group measure, instead of trying to look at the ACS-6 items one by one by one in the models. So it just gives us a more parsimonious kind of view. Statistically, we were using two different techniques, depending on the left-hand side, either logistic regression for the dichotomous variables or log link regressions for counts of visits. So I want to start by just giving you an overview of the specific items that compose the ACS-6 I want you to get a sense for how many people it captures among the working age overall. And don't worry, I won't read every last bit of this table. Taking the items one by one, are you deaf or do you have serious difficulty hearing? Well, about 3% of working age people say yes to that. Are you blind or do you have serious difficulty seeing even when wearing glasses? About 3% say yes. Because of a physical, mental, or emotional condition, do you have serious difficulty concentrating, remembering, or making decisions? About 5% say yes to that. Do you have serious difficulty walking or climbing stairs? That's about 7%. Do you have difficulty dressing or bathing? About 2%. And because of a physical, mental, or emotional condition, do you have difficulty doing errands alone, such as visiting a doctor's office or shopping? About 4% say yes. So when you take all of those six together, you get to a total of about 13% of the working age, or about 25 million souls, for telling us that they have one or more of those difficulties. And then we can split that out into our little summary group that I was telling you about. So you can say that, there are amongst people with non-ADL or IDL related difficulties, that's about 9%, versus people who instead told us that they had difficulties with things like dressing or bathing or errands, and that's going to be about 4%. Note that 9 plus 4 equals 13. That's the way this lines up. I'm not going to go through all of these. Just know that, yes, we looked at the socio-demos by each of the separate ACS-6 items, and very quickly, difficulty on each of the separate items, any of them, is going to be pretty well generally associated with lower education, lower income, and higher mean age. No surprise there. We see that in just about all the measures of disability available to us in this field. Okay, so let's look at some bivariates, and let's start with health. And by the way, I'm very graph-heavy. Just so you know, there's a PDF file that's completely screen-readable available to you over APHA's website, and or if you need additional accommodations, please just be in touch with me. I'm glad to work with you. Okay, so looking at health, if you look at the panel to your left on overall health, fair, or poor, attend to just the first two bars for a second. You're going to see there that a bit over 40% of people with any ACS-6 difficulty report fair or poor health, compared to about 5% among people with no ACS-6 difficulty. And then the next two bars, in yellow and then in red, show that for people with non-ADL, IADL difficulties, about 30% report fair to poor health, while you get all the way up to 65% of people with ADL or IADL difficulties saying that they are in fair to poor health. Meanwhile, note that we see this exact same set of relations when examining people who say that their health is worse now than it was a year ago. And then last, let's do something different. Let's flip the whole thing around and look at it the other way. If we were to ask the question, what proportion of all people with fair or poor health do people with an ACS6 difficulty actually represent? The answer is about half. When we use the ACS6, we're getting about half of the people responding to the NHS saying that they're in fair to poor health. And the same thing goes, roughly, for people reporting that their health is worse now than it was last year. Turning to mental health, we've charted the percentage of people scoring higher than 13 on the K6, and that's an indicator of serious mental illness. Among people with any ACS6 difficulty, we find that about 18% might have an SMI, compared to people with no ACS6 difficulty, which is around 3%. So 18% versus 3%. And again, people with ADL and IADL difficulties scored quite high. But one more time, let's flip it around and look at the rows and columns the other way and say, okay, what percentage of all people with a possible SMI does the ACS6 seem to capture? The answer, interestingly enough, is about 66%. So, as with the earlier slides on health and mental health, we see the same familiar kind of distribution when we look at the percentages reporting one or more of the 10 chronic conditions that we tracked. But there's also another really important finding here. When we flip the rows and columns to examine the total population of people with these 10 conditions and use that as the denominator, what you see is that people with ACS6 difficulties here are only accounting for about 23% of such persons. In other words, there are many people that have chronic conditions that do not have disabilities. And that should give us a little bit of pause, and it's a point I want to return to in our discussion. Okay, now let's shift gears and let's really look at service utilization. This is the thrust of the presentation. From here on out, we've adjusted the findings for differences in age, gender, race, ethnicity, income, education, health insurance. This slide provides odds ratios of visiting a primary care doctor during the preceding year. So looking at people who reported a cognitive difficulty, we find that they were about 1.5 times as likely to report seeing a GP when compared to people without cognitive difficulties. And that's after having control for whether they did or didn't have any of the other ACS6 difficulties. The star is indicating that this was elevated enough from the level of 1, which would imply no difference, to reach statistical significance. And so the way to look at this graph is, when it comes to the odds of a GP visit, the cognitive, walking, and errands difficulties were significant predictors, while hearing, seeing, and bathing, dressing were not. The next several slides are going to follow this same format, so we'll be able to do them a little more quickly and easily. Here we look at the odds of visiting a medical specialty doctor during the past year. Difficulties with seeing, walking, bathing, and errands were each significant predictors of one or more such visits. Here we're looking at hospitalization over the past year, and it was difficulty walking and doing errands that predicted one or more hospital visits. Here we're looking at therapy visits over the past year after controlling covariates, and this is, again, things like PT, OT. It was difficulties with hearing, cognition, walking, and bathing, dressing that predicted a higher odds of those sorts of visits. And then last in this series, we look at the odds of a mental health visit. The ACS6 measures on cognitive difficulties, such as concentrating, remembering, or making decisions, or doing errands alone, like shopping or visiting a doctor's office, perform actually quite well here. Here are two count visits instead of, you know, one or more visits during the year. Now we're actually looking at mean visits. We've modeled these, and after controlling covariates, what we did was calculate predicted marginal means, where we're holding all the other variables in the models at their weighted population levels. So for emergency department visits, we found that the measures on cognition, walking, and errand difficulties were significant predictors of higher mean ED utilization. And here we're looking at predicted mean ambulatory office visits over the past 12 months. Four of the six measures turn out to be significant predictors of elevated visit rates, including hearing, cognition, walking, and difficulty with errands. Okay, now I'm going to shift gears again. Now, in place of those six separate measures from the ACS-6 that we've been looking at, now I want to do the same kind of models, but I want to use that three-level summary measure instead, and that's the one that's using the ADLs and IADLs as the trump. So we're still controlling covariates. And let me just cut to the total punchline. The ACS-6 measure, particularly when parsed between people with and without ADL, IADL difficulties, predicted elevated service use for all of these services. All the differences that you see here are statistically significant and large. And again, looking at our count variables, we see that the same storyline again. So for example, where people without an ACS-6 difficulty have a bit over 3 ambulatory healthcare visits during the year, people with non-ADL, IADL difficulties have almost 6, and then people with ADL or IADL difficulties have almost 8. Let's do a little bit of review. So looking across all the models that we fit over the 6 individual ACS-6 items, so the items on walking, cognitive, and errand difficulties were strong and consistent predictors of service utilization virtually across the board. The measures on seeing, hearing, and bathing dressing were somewhat less consistent predictors, at least of these particular services. And as for the ACS-6 measure overall, instead of thinking about each of the individual items, when you think about people moving from no ACS-6 difficulty to a non-ADL, IADL difficulty, to difficulties that do begin to affect things like bathing and dressing and doing errands independently, what you see is increasing percentages with low income and low education, decreasing overall health ratings and worse health than last year, higher rates of multiple chronic conditions, worse K6 scores and substantial increases in SMI, higher utilization of all services studied even after controlling the covariates. So let's have a little discussion here. Each of the items in this instrument remain, the way I would describe it, close to the skin. They reference actions and abilities that are intertwined with health, with functioning, and with the immediate needs of the person. Accordingly, as we've seen today, I think these 6 items appear to capture a disability population that's appropriate for health services research, whether from the standpoint of demographics or from the standpoint of health status or from mental health or for service need or use. Even if this was not the author's original intent with the ACS-6, it turns out that it works pretty well for folks that are doing health services research. The items, more specifically, the items on hearing and seeing were less directly related to healthcare utilization after controlling covariates. However, they are strongly correlated with overall health and mental health status and may also capture subgroups with specific needs for accommodation when receiving health care. As for IADLs and ADLs, they appear to be relevant across many different types of health, mental health, and functional limitations / conditions. They appear to serve pretty well as a cross-disability stratifying measure that indicates a higher degree of functional impairment, more compromised health, higher-end service utilization. The cognitive, walking, and IADL measures were the strongest outright predictors of service utilization in the study, and I think studies that are focused directly on service utilization could attempt to array those 3 measures in particular. Okay, my last slide. There's one really important gap to note here concerning people with chronic conditions that are not disabling at present. The ACS-6 only captured about 1 in 5 of the people that have chronic conditions included in this particular study. Many of the individuals who have them, frequently more than one at a time, are individuals who, with proper care, may forestall the kinds of functional limitations that we're talking about today for many years to come. Others, I think, are individuals who may soon be disabled no matter how good their health care is. And I think others still may be in a period of symptom remission of any possible duration. They may have been disabled in the past, and they may be disabled again in the future. But I hope my point is clear. If you're concerned about the health of people with disabilities, you also have to be concerned about people with non-disabling chronic conditions as well. Chronic conditions and disability represent overlapping groups with multiple and complex interrelationships. So let me end by noting that for health services research, I think we need clear and actionable definitions and measures of disability, and I think the ACS-6 is one of those. But we also need a broader way of capturing adults with ongoing healthcare needs, even if they're not disabled at this particular point in time. So that is my presentation, and I am happy to take any questions.